Blog Talk Radio.
Egyptian television, Gavali said the cost to Egypt has been great.
Chivalric country will not allow any conspiracy against its people or the Egyptian state. She insisted that the pushing Egypt into bankruptcy is unacceptable because it would plunge her country into a dire state similar to Iraq and Libya. Shubat said that if the reports are correct, Turkey appears to play a central role in the alleged conspiracy. He emphasized that Egypt has asserted to the international community that it will not tolerate any attempt to push the country to bankruptcy. And Shubat's blog linked to three very credible sources that corroborate the report on Kobali's comments.
Shubat reported in May that Malik Obama is the executive secretary of the Islamic Dua Organization, or IDU, a group created by the government of Sudan, which is considered by the U.S. State Department to be a terrorist state. In 2010, Malik Obama attended an IDU conference in the Sudanese capital, Khartoum. One of the objectives of the IDU is to spread Wahhabi Islam across the African continent. Sudan President Omar al-Bashir supervised the conference. Bashir is wanted by the International Criminal Court on 7 counts related to crimes against humanity.
Shubat asserted the evidence places Malik Obama in bed with terrorists working in a terrorist state as an official of an organization created by terrorists.
Malik's tax-exempt problems. WND reported in May that funds contributed in the U.S. to a 501c3 foundation run by Malik Obama have been diverted to support Malik's multiple wives in Kenya, an expert in Islamic extremism has charged. Lois Lerner, the director of the IRS tax-exempt division currently under congressional investigation, signed the letter approving tax-exempt status for the Malik Obama, Barack H. Obama Foundation. Lerner, currently on paid executive leave from her IRS supervisory position, took the Fifth Amendment before the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee on May 22nd, rather than answer questions on inappropriate criteria used by her IRS department to delay or otherwise deny tax and exempt status for Tea Party and Patriot groups.
Shubat has detailed his allegations in a 22-page investigative report titled New IRS Scandal, Islamic Extremism and Sex Slaves. The report reveals Obama's relatives run charities of deceit and published on his website. And after a thorough examination of available evidence, Shubat explained to WND, this website here, that his allegations against the Obama Family Tax Exemption Foundations.
When Malik Obama and Sarah Obama raised money in the United States as the respective heads of foundations claiming to be charities, not only did the Internal Revenue Service illegally grant one of them tax-exempt status retroactively, but those foundations have supported to a varying degree illegal operations that acquire funding for personal gain, philandering, polygamy, and the promotion of Wahhabism, the brand of Islam practiced by Al-Qaeda.
For the past 2 years, since long before the current IRS scandals became public, WND has been reporting irregularities in two IRS-approved 501c3 organizations operated in the U.S. by Obama's half-brother, step-grandmother. In Kenya. This article is quite long and quite involved, and they show a lot of proof.
All kinds of funny
stuff. But I want you to go to it, please. And this is WND Politics, okay? That's the, this is, this story is called Obama's Brother Linked to Muslim Brotherhood. It was published 7 days ago. So please go to this and check it out. And I hope you can,
find it and read it.
Yeah. Like that. I don't understand that.
Was this all.
So, anyway. Oh, here's Facebook. There we go. I just wanted to... I wanted to share this out on my site because this is the actual article. And...
So if people go to Facebook,
yeah,
they can find the article.
If they go to Leo Steele on Facebook, they can also find my article. But go to WND.com and you'll get it there. Right. Hard work. But amazing, huh? Amazing,
yeah,
how the ties are with these guys. They just make you sick. You know, they just make you sick.
Like Obama came out of nowhere, right?
Yeah, yeah. Unbelievable. This is, everybody know, what's his name? Man, I don't remember this guy's name. You know his name.
Oh, why did you do that to me? Yes,
oh, God, I hate it when
he's married to Mary Maitland.
Yeah, well, James Carville. Okay, they don't have his name on here, but this is something somebody sent me. That was a big poster.
And you couldn't help but recognize him. He's so homely.
Yeah. But James Carville, and he says 80% of the people who call themselves Democrats don't have a clue as to the political reality. What amazes me is that you could take a group of people who are hard workers and convince them that they should support social programs that were the exact opposite of their own personal convictions. Put a little fear here and there, and you can get people to vote any way you want. And he said that in an interview a while back.
Sort of,
unbelievable, huh?
Sounds like something somebody else said, but I can't remember who the person was.
I also said it's basically the same thing, but, you know, James Carville, you know, said it.
Yeah, but somebody else said that earlier.
Oh, it's well known.
Yeah.
You just a little bit of fear and people will do anything you want them to do. All right. This one may shock you. Okay, but everybody, you know, anybody who's who knows anything, anybody who's kind of watched the news or heard about things, knows that Amazon, the owner of Amazon just bought the Washington Post. Okay. For $250 million. But they didn't know that Amazon just received a $600 million CIA computer cloud contract, which allows surveillance shopping. Okay, so he paid $250 million out of his own back pocket, I guess. But for doing so, he got $600 million from the CIA.
Hmm.
But oddly enough, people don't realize the Washington Post has always been controlled by the CIA, and that their chief editor, Robert Woodward, okay, is actually has always been a CIA operative, right? And you know, has been one ever since Watergate, all right? And he was involved with the, you know, that's what his deep throat was all about. That's where he got his deep throat from. It was the CIA contact.
Now,
they always said it might be Henry Kissinger, but he denied it. And then it turns out that it was a CIA contact that actually was deep throat. Okay, and he died a while back. But you know, you have to, it's just amazing that that this is happening. But I'd like to just read this quickly because so you know that Mark Carlin. Amazon received $600 million CIA computer cloud contract, surveillance shopping.
And this article is by Mark Carlin, editor of BuzzFlash at Truth Output.
Right.
If it would make a good front page Washington Post story to learn a bit about the more than $500 million that the CIA is going to pay Amazon to develop a spook computer cloud. For those who don't follow computer technology, clouds are the next stage in digital data storage, like Google already has that.
Right.
According to the website Quartz, Amazon is staffing up for a $600 million cloud for spooks. You can now add Spymaster to Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos' various titles. On Friday, June 14th, a U.S. Government Accountability Office report elaborated on previous reports that Amazon had won a $600 million contract to build a private cloud for the CIA. The GAO report was generated when IBM, which had been competing for the contract, protested that it had lost unfairly. More than a half a billion dollars will buy you a lot of cloud computing. And now, according to postings on Amazon's own job site, the company is staffing up to meet the demand the new contract will require. Specifically, Amazon is looking for engineers who already have a top-secret, sensitive, compartmented information clearance or are willing to go through the elaborate screening process required to get it. PS/SCI is the highest security clearance offered by the U.S. government, and getting it requires having your background thoroughly vetted.
Buzzflash, a truth out, formed,
found out,
about the contact to Heidi Bogosian, author of the just-released Spiracy on Democracy, Government Surveillance, Corporate Power, and Public Resistance. You can obtain the book at Truth Out. Yeah, okay. When it comes to exponentially advancing blending of corporate media and the government, the $600 million Amazon CIA contract does not portend well for the future of transparent coverage in the Washington Post under Bezos. All right. But look at the two key players in spying on democracy in the Bogosian's book titled Government Surveillance and Corporate Power. In Bezos' purchase of the
Washington Post.
Bezos is the owner of Amazon. At first, the Washington Post, you have the critical mass combination, and that's not to mention the potential for combining intelligence surveillance, customer buying habits, and marketing information and news preferences.
It also may be a mere coincidence that both the CIA and Amazon are both investing in a quantum computer company, D-Wave. But given the financial interlinking of media, corporations, and government, one can argue that Amazon and the CIA have grown quite chummy when it comes to the bottom line. Those who argue that Bezos is socially progressive on issues such as gay marriage and therefore will be a positive influence on the Post forget that President Obama is socially progressive, but as far as Wall Street, low-paying jobs such as the one Bezos has helped usher in his warehouses that has Obama highlighted, and spying on American citizens is more or less a continuation, if not an expansion, of Bush's policies.
Let's see, recently, Bezos, $250 million, paid $250 million for the Washington Post, and some others of its affiliated properties. Amazon, earlier this year, beating out IBM, who is still contesting the awarding of CIA contract to Amazon, received a $600 million contract from the CIA and holds other government IT contracts, including possibly one with the NSA. Not that we are saying that there is any direct relationship here, but somehow it seems more than an even bet that the Washington Post won't be a transparent lens when it comes to surveillance and espionage under Bezos' ownership. Yes. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I think it is. It just amazes me.
What are you doing?
I was just gonna mail this out, but
yeah.
Anyway, to me the craziness of all this. Yeah. Because you always knew that the Washington Post was always a CIA.
Didn't it continue to be?
Always was. All right. And now it's just more and more. You know, it just gave, you know, it's amazing. You know, just totally blows your mind.
Bill Gates. What did he do? I don't like him.
This is horrible. This is just horrible. What he's suggesting to do. I don't know what he wants to do.
This is from Before It's News.
Gates published a plan to drench the earth with sulfuric acid from drones.
my God.
Hey, what a nightmare. But under the pretext of fighting global warming, Bill Gates and Monsanto to monopolize food production using chemtrails as herbicidal warfare. The plan to dump 20 megatons of sulfuric acid into the atmosphere from a custom-designed drone airships to benefit Monsanto's climate stress seed patents, right? It's absolutely disgusting. And the efficient formation of stratospheric aerosol for climate engineering by emissions of condensable vapor for aircraft.
Vapor. Can we describe an alternate method in which aerosol is formed rapidly in the plume following injection of HT504, condensable vapor from an aircraft?
H2SO4.
Oh, sorry. What did I say?
HTSO4.
Sorry, that's what it looked like.
H2SO4.
Sorry. This method gives better control of particle size and can produce large radioactive forcing with lower sulfur loads than the SO2 injection. Relative to the SO2 injection, it may reduce some of the adverse effects of geoengineering, such as radiative heating of the lower atmosphere.
Lower stratosphere. This is actually 22 minutes long, but we're only going to play a few minutes.
Most important technology you've ever heard. This is what it said, part one.
Yeah, you can get this on YouTube.
Intro. Play now. Just play now.
Doesn't have to pay for medicine, right? Or healthcare. and they're still getting more money than we are, you know, on minimum wage, and we have to pay for health care. It's like, hey, folks. And this was produced by the Pro Labor Alliance, Inc. It's pretty frightening, huh?
Very frightening.
So, let's see. There's plenty more to get there to do. Oh, yeah. I wanted to talk a little bit tonight about the Fukushima mess that's come up. There's been so much, but you haven't heard about it.
Oh, Japan?
Yeah. You really haven't heard anything about it.
I heard there was another leak there.
It was a major leak, yeah. Mm-hmm. You probably heard it, I don't know, did you hear it on NPR? Or did you hear it on,
I don't
you
remember.
You didn't hear it on the mainstream.
There's very little said about Japan at all on the media.
Yeah, very little. And it's really frightening what's going on. Now, excuse me.
Now, remember, Japan isn't that far from Hawaii.
No, but it's contaminating the entire Pacific
all the ocean.
The Pacific Ocean, particularly right now. But here,
if you smile, radiation will kill you.
That's right. This is from one of the Japanese. Actually, this is from Natural News, but. If you smile, radiation won't kill you. From Nightly News, Alex Jones. But he says.
Now we have this brainwashing campaign. Radiation doesn't affect people who are smiling. If you are smiling, you will not have any radiation effects. This is what they're trying to convince you of. If you are not smiling, you will have radiation effects. And they prove this theory by testing it on animals. And the guy asked, what's the difference between safe and feeling safe? And he says, safe can be recognized by anyone. Feeling or recognition of safe, meaning of the feeling of safe, is really narrow. But safe is safe for everyone. And if you're like me, you're like, how does that possibly make sense, even if you did test it on somebody's dog, which I think is pretty horrific, and Peter needs to go up there and yell at some people. But if you feel safe, you are safe. So this next article has nothing to do with anything. West coast of North America to be hit hard by Fukushima radiation. So if you feel safe, then you have nothing to worry about because you are safe, and the fact that, you know, these diagrams and these graphs, they just don't mean anything. Yeah, you can see it right there on your screen, and we'll scroll down and show you some more of these graphs. You know, you can see the patterns there of the radiation moving in towards various areas. But if you feel safe, you are safe. And we have proven this by testing this theory on animals.
Oh, yeah?
That's the brilliant thought on that. I just thought that was funny. That was from prison lab. But the radioactive water from Fukushima is really, really, really frightening. And I just wanted to...
Hey guys, Cardinal 16, today's date, August 6th, 2013. Radioactive water from Fukushima is poisoning the entire Pacific Ocean. Now guys, we reported on this story a few days ago, and we're reporting on it again because the official over in Japan has actually come out since then and made a statement about how bad the situation really is over there. Now, I'm not making this video to scare anyone or anything like that. This channel was created a couple of years ago to enlighten you on what's really going on in the world around you. And so we're trying to keep to that premise here. Now, really none of the mainstream media is really reporting on it. Some of the alternative media is reporting on it. And not many YouTube channels are reporting on it. There are some reporting on it. To my knowledge, and I want to stress to my knowledge, none of the big YouTube channels are reporting on this. In fact, one in particular YouTube channel that I'm speaking about, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm sure many of you know what I'm talking about, though. Briefly mentioned it the other day and downplayed it like it was some sort of non-topic story that they just had to cover because somebody mentioned it. And then they went into reporting on what they report on every single day, which is solar magnetic field activity, weather patterns, and drones flying in and out of hurricane eyewalls. Now, this channel that I'm speaking of gets over 30,000 views a day, and it's nothing but a distraction because they also talk about climate change over there.
He's probably talking about NASA. NASA. But what this map shows is the contamination here. Radioactive water from Fukushima is systematically poisoning the entire Pacific Ocean, and it's getting even worse. I mean, it's even getting worse.
Fukushima is continuing to deteriorate, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. In fact, it's reached the point where the Atomic Energy Agency of Japan, or their version of ours, has said it's an emergency, or words to that effect. Kevin Camps is on the line with us. He's the radioactive waste watchdog at beyondnuclear.org, the guys who keep track of this stuff. Kevin, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. No robotic pigeons here. This is serious stuff.
Well, it's as you say, it's an emergency. The groundwater is severely contaminated, and incredibly, the news headlines just keep rolling day after day. We're looking at double-digit percent increases in radioactivity levels in the groundwater on a daily basis at this point. And this has really been going on for months now. But now we come to find out, surprise, surprise, that Tokyo Electric wasn't exactly telling the world everything there was to be told. And now there are reports that this leakage has been going on to a greater or lesser extent for 2.5 years since the very beginning of the catastrophe.
Well, there's one more that I wanted to bring up to Fukushima out of control.
Oh, okay.
And this is in August. This is done this month.
The Fukushima nuclear disaster in Japan has disappeared largely from the front pages of newspapers, at least here in the United States. The crisis still continues and is apparently, in fact, worsening. Here's what a special witness at the Diet of the Japanese Parliament said at the end of July on new radiation measurements.
My team at the Radioisotope Center took it upon ourselves to measure and calculate the total amount of radioactive contamination using all of our expertise on the subject, and found the total amount of leakage to be about 29.6 times the amount of contamination caused by the nuclear bomb dropped on Hiroshima. Assuming the source material to be uranium, we think the total amount of leakage is about 20 times the contamination caused by the Hiroshima bomb.
There were also reports that the ground under the crippled nuclear facility is beginning to crack as the nuclear core is melting down into it, and deadly radioactive steam might be now spewing from those cracks, further hampering efforts to contain the crisis. As one unnamed Fukushima worker emailed to a friend earlier this month, a lot of the cracks came up in the ground. Massive steam is coming up from there. It's too smoggy here. Can't see a thing. It seems like a nuclear reaction is happening underground. Now we are evacuating. Watch out for the direction of wind. So what exactly is going on there? And why the media blackout on this increasingly severe nuclear disaster? Here to offer some answers is Paul Gunter, director of the Reactor Oversight Project at Beyond Nuclear. Paul, welcome back.
Thanks again for having us, Tom.
I appreciate your being here. It's a shame, though, that this is just continuing.
160 days now.
Yeah. In fact, that clip that we just played of the guy in the Diet testifying was sent to me by a dear friend of mine who's Japanese and lives in Tokyo. They're really starting to get worried. I mean, this cracks at the plant, radioactive steam coming out of the earth, that sounds an awful lot like, and my knowledge of this is limited to having seen the Jane Fonda movie, but that sounds a lot like the China Syndrome, the core melting down through the earth and hitting the water table.
Right. That's clearly a concern that we've had all along, that we know now that there have been three meltdowns at the reactors at this six-unit site, and that the vessel has failed. Now what seems to be the situation is that this corium, this melted reactor core, has burned through the concrete floor of the reactor building or buildings and has now burned into the earth, and reaching groundwater is creating steam. And what the readings we're seeing now suggest that it's off scale for the instrumentation that's being used by workers, which is 10 sieverts per hour. So right now, it looks like the
10,000 millisieverts.
It's 1 million millirem. It's 500. So 500 rem is a lethal dose. This is 1,000 rem coming out of these cracks. So we're seeing, doses that could cause fatalities within days.
Let's just put this in a context that people understand. You said it's 1 million millirems. How many millirems is, say, a dental x-ray or chest?
Well,
x-ray?
The USNRC, the permissible dose for the public is 100 millirem per year.
Wow.
This is 1 million millirem per hour.
Wow.
So these are lethal doses that are coming up out of the ground. So, you know, they've been looking to contain this accident by building tents over the reactor units, which is kind of ludicrous in and of itself and shows the desperation measures that being employed. But now it's coming up out of the ground through cracks around the facility. So the accident is now, you know, clearly much more seriously out of control than they're willing to admit.
It's escaped into the wild, essentially.
Absolutely. And, you know, we were involved in a NRC, U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission, hearing on July 28th of this year where the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission basically admitted that that fuel fragments found over 1.5 miles away from the facility did not come from explosions from the fuel pool, from those spent fuel pools up on top of the reactor buildings that we've been talking about. These were according to the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission, those fuel fragments were ejected from the reactor cores in those explosions.
Wow.
So
the cores are breached immediately.
That seems to be the concern right now. And, we continue to see stories about aerosolized radioactivity turning up on the West Coast. I think the most recent story
is Los Angeles Times.
Absolutely.
The headline, radioactive isotope may be from Fukushima detected. It's radioactive.
Absolutely. And
sulfur, which is the breakdown product of chlorine.
Yeah, from seawater being poured onto those reactors in those early days.
Found in La Jolla, California.
Yes. And so, again, the problem is that, as we pointed out on our very first interview with you, that the first thing to be controlled in these nuclear accidents is the information. And now, 160 days into this accident, and still worsening, we still see that the information is being withheld. There's an incredible lag time, months before we really understand
the
situation.
This fellow who testified before the Diet said 20 to 29 times more radiation has been emitted from Fukushima than the Hiroshima bomb. I mean, this horrified the Japanese, made the Japanese press. This was a big deal in Japan. I didn't see it mentioned in a single newspaper in the United States.
Right.
Is the blackout here, there, or in both places?
It's a global nuclear industry that can control the airwaves, the media, and really we're really dependent upon indie media right now, like your program, like what's on the blogs, what's coming up on YouTube. This is where news on Fukushima breaks first.
The just to clarify, in the last minute we have here, in a China syndrome like we're apparently seeing right now in Fukushima, the nuclear core melts through the reactor vessel, melts through the cement underneath it, melts into the ground. And if it was in, say, Nevada, it would be no big deal. It would end up in the dirt someplace buried forever. But if it hits a water table, it explodes out. Isn't it true that pretty much every nuclear power plant in America, or in the world for that matter, is built right next to water, so there's a low water table because they use it
right
in a little plant?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't this like an inherently insane system?
It's certainly inherently dangerous. And once it's out of control, the consequences are unacceptable. The big concern right now is that we don't really know, because we don't have reliable information on how hot that corium material, that melted core, is. If it's hot enough, it can separate out the elemental forms of water, hydrogen and oxygen, and that creates an underground explosive environment.
Well, for God's sake, why don't we close all those places?
While the rest of the media ignores Fukushima, we'll keep an eye on it and bring you the latest news on this global tragedy.
They're just trying to contain it.
in, why don't they close the one Three Mile Island, the ones here in Connecticut? They're all old, and they're going to, it's just a disaster.
The China syndrome.
Sure,
sure. Absolutely, Fred. This is a trailer from China Syndrome. Anybody's ever seen it?
It's about people. People who lie.
Back in the 70s.
And people faced with the agony of telling the truth.
Right.
People like Kimberly Wells, a television reporter paid to smile, not to think.
A few words about a veterinarian who makes house calls on sick fish. Or is it aquarium calls?
Richard Adams, a cameraman who never learned how to play by the rules.
We need to get that other room, get that radiation all over that cute little body.
Jack Goodell, an engineer who knows too much to tell the truth.
In anything that man ever does, there's some element of risk, right? Well, that's why we have what we call defense in depth.
And cares too much to lie.
No accident.
It will start with a tremor in a nuclear power plant. Where it will end will depend on three people.
I would say you're probably lucky to be alive. Same for the rest of Southern California.
Jane Fonda.
Let's face it, you didn't get this job because of your investigative abilities.
Kimberly, don't fight it.
Jack Lemmon.
There was a vibration.
Michael Douglas.
I don't know that accident is the right word.
Accident is the right word.
The China Syndrome. The harder they try, the more resistance they meet.
They've got their own security men. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you want me to make it any clearer?
The closer they get, the more threatening it becomes. The China Syndrome. Today, only a handful of people know what it really means. And they're scared. Soon, you will know.
That was with the China Syndrome. And Michael Douglas. And Jack Lemmon.
1978.
Wow.
That was just a little segment of the
movie.
But, it's really that
scary.
Yeah.
It came true.
It's really, really, really frightening, folks. Scare the hell out of me. Scares the hell out of me. Right, Lena?
I wonder how much people in Japan really know. They're being told anything at all.
And it's just absolutely frightening to think that,
the world's most important herb.
Yeah.
How about
that's an amazing thing.
That's a positive.
I take this every day, Lila and I. We do take this, and because it's it has so many amazing effects.
Well, it's a diabetes treatment.
Well, not only that, but it does all kinds of things. This is a medicinal spice that's so timelessly interwoven with the origins of human culture and metabolism, so thoroughly supported by modern scientific inquiry, as to be unparalleled in its proven value to human health and well-being. Indeed, turmeric turns the entire drug-based medical model on its head. Instead of causing far more side effects than therapeutic ones, as in the case of most patent pharmaceutical medications, turmeric possesses hundreds of potential side benefits, having been empirically demonstrated to positively modulate over 160 different, physiological pathways in the mammalian body.
Well, no herb or herb is right for everyone. And everything has the potential for unintended adverse side effects. Turmeric is truly unique in its exceptionally high margin of safety vis-a-vis the drugs it's been compared with, and that's hydrocortisone, ibuprofen, chemotherapy agents. Furthermore, nothing within the modern-day pharmaceutical group comes even remotely close to turmeric's 6,000-year track record of safe use in Ayurvedic medicine. Despite its vast potential for alleviating human suffering, turmeric will likely never receive the FDA stamp of approval due to its lack of exclusivity, patentability, and therefore profitability. Truth be told, the FDA's gold standard for proving the value of prospective medical substances betrays the age-old aphorism, he who owns the goal makes the rules, and unless an investor is willing to risk losing the $800+ million that must be spent up front, the FDA required multi-phase, double-blind, randomized clinical trials will not occur. For additional details on this rather seedy arrangement, read our article on the topic, Why the Law Forbids the Medicinal Use of Natural Substances.
And here at greeninfo.com, we have reviewed over 5,000 study abstracts from the National Library of Medicine, bibliographic database known as Medline, and have discovered over 600 potential health benefits of turmeric and or its primary polyphenol known as curcumin. These can be viewed on our turmeric research page, which is dedicated to disseminating the research on the topic to a larger audience.
Some of the most amazing demonstrated properties include destroying multi-drug-resistant cancer, destroying cancer stem cells, arguably the root of all cancer, protecting against radiation-induced damage, reducing unhealthy levels of inflammation, protecting against heavy metal toxicity, preventing and reversing Alzheimer's disease-associated pathologies. Again, what is so amazing is that turmeric may have value in dozens of health conditions simultaneously, or that it may improve conditions that are completely resistant to conventional treatment. But there are over 600 additional health conditions it may also be valuable in preventing and or treating. Consider also the fact that turmeric grows freely on the earth, and you will understand why its very existence threatens billions of dollars in pharmaceutical industry revenue. Learn more about this research in the video below. Let's put that on.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. This is Sayer G., founder of GreenMedInfo.com, and today we'll be talking about turmeric and one of its primary constituents, curcumin, because it is the most heavily researched substance on our database. Just to get you a sense for how much research does exist, we're going to jump over here to PubMed.gov, which I encourage you all to search out and to use because it is the source for all of the data on our database. This is a public domain bibliographic reference source where you can look up up to 20 million different citations using keywords very much like Google. So it's sort of like the Google of medicine and life science related information. So let's type in turmeric and see how many results we get. Okay, as you can see, there's 1,800 peer-reviewed published studies on turmeric in the literature. You can click and get the free abstracts, and oftentimes there's a link to the full abstract, which can cost money to purchase. But thankfully, these scientists do a pretty good job of submitting a summary. What we've done over the course of a month is we've looked at every single one of these studies, and we have...
This is kind of techy.
Yeah. So, it'd be interesting if we had the time to listen to it, I think so.
We kind of only got 10 minutes left. But I wanted to touch on a few of the things before we do that. This is really an interesting quote. There's another thing I wanted to get to with Fukushima here in a second. Why don't we do it now? Russian TV video. Fukushima operator pleads for international help as radiation deepens, and this was published on the 22nd of this month. TEPCO operator of the Fukushima nuclear plant admits it needs overseas help to contain the radioactive fallout after 18 months of trying to control it internally. It comes after the latest leak at the facility was deemed a serious accident. Now, you got to remember that the last, unfortunately, that last thing that we had, they only said it was 160 days.
Yeah. Okay,
so that was like after, I don't know, it was 160 days. That's 120, about five or six months?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was about 6 months after the actual accident. This now is 18 months, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is much newer, and they've just run out of ways to go. It comes after the latest leak of the facility was deemed a serious incident.
Many other countries outside of Japan have experienced decommissioning reactors, so we hope we can consult them more and utilize their experience, TEPCO's Vice President Zengo Ezawa said at a news conference on Wednesday night. In that sense, we need support, not only from the Japanese government, but from the international community to do this job. This call comes after one of the 1,060 temporary tanks used to store highly contaminated water sprang a leak on Wednesday, discharging as much as 300 tons of radioactive liquid containing large amounts of cesium. Further tests revealed excessive radiation levels elsewhere in the facility. Japan's Nuclear Regulatory Authority rated the incident 3 on the International Nuclear and Radiological Events Spike scale, which spans from 1 to 7. Yeah, right. It's probably a 7. The current situation is at the point where more surveillance will be enough to keep the accidents from happening. The UN's International Atomic Agency has said that it is taking this matter seriously and remains ready to provide assistance on request. In the past, Japan has been averse to letting foreign entities help with eradicating the nuclear fallout from the Tohoku disaster of March 2011. The vast majority of clear-up tenders were won by local companies, and outside experts have observed from afar. This leak is the latest and most serious in a string of accidents that have kept the station in the headlines throughout the summer.
TEPCO admitted that the groundwater that floods the damaged basements of the destroyed reactors is becoming contaminated and flowing into the ocean.
Oh.
300 tons of the radioactive liquid reach the open water each day, even as TEPCO continued to deny the existence of the problem. The financial troubled company is attempting to construct a chemical and steel double barrier to stop this outflow, but the obstacle is not impermeable and only covers a limited area, requiring water to be pumped away to stop it from building up and bursting through. As its tanks, which are used to keep the coolant that prevents the damaged reactors from overheating dangerously, are considered to be unsuitable because they are made for other industrial purposes. They are adapted following the emergency, but they are nearly full. And TEPCO estimates that it has already reached 85% capacity, although plans to create a more permanent facility have not, as had so far, not materialized. The latest leak was the fifth time that toxic water escaped from the basin.
Wow.
TEPCO has been slow in measuring the levels of radioactive elements that have been flown out of the station, as well as publishing its data. The company finally revealed this month that highly unsafe tritium and cesium levels have been detected in the seawater near the plant, and a concentration of these elements would require the marine environment and building up in marine life, possibly endangering humans further up the food chain. The contaminated water remains a problem that could lead to a crisis, Ozawa conceded during the press call. Unfortunately, TEPCO waited until a severe emergency arose to finally report how bad things really are. Historically, everything TEPCO says always turns out to be much worse than they initially admit, he said. A nuclear accident researcher, Christina Consola, told RT.
Most experts say it take between 4 decades and a century to to eliminate the impact of the Fukushima disaster.
Good. It's just worse and worse and worse.
I don't understand why they just didn't pour some men into the thing.
I don't know what they did.
They didn't do anything.
They didn't, what they were thinking or what they were doing. I mean, it's just, I don't know.
Isn't that what they did in Russia and that contained it?
Yeah, they contained the whole thing. They dumped tons and tons and tons of cement all over it. I don't know. I don't know what these guys are. Well, let's see. And on a positive note, not really, though. But this is interesting, though. In Atlas Shrugged, which was the book by Ayn Rand, she stated that when you see that trading is done not by consent, but by compulsion, when you see that in order to produce, you need to obtain permission from men who produce nothing, when you see that money is flowing to those who deal, not in goods, but in favors, and when you see that men get richer by graft and by pull than by work, and your laws don't protect you against them, but protect them against you, when you see corruption being rewarded and honesty becoming a self-sacrifice, you may know that your society is doomed.
Sounds like our society, doesn't it?
Doesn't it sound like our society?
Oh, boy.
I would say so.
Pretty scary, Lou.
And she says, do not make the mistake of the ignorant who think that an individualist is a man who says, I'll do as I please at everybody else's expense. You know, something like that.
Yeah.
An individualist is a man who recognizes the inalienable individual's rights of man, his own, and those of others. It's true, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Well, anyway, want to thank my listeners tonight, and see
if we should thank them very much.
Thank you. And maybe we could end on this. There is evidence that indicates the Syrian government did not launch a chemical weapon attack against its people. Okay? But maybe we should say 14 things you really don't want to know about your groceries.
Oh, dear.
Slowly. Just a little bit about this. This is from Rise Earth website. Okay. Oh. Greek yogurt manufacturing produces millions of pounds of toxic acid they waste every year, and no one knows what to do with it. For every 3 or 4 ounces of milk, Chobani and other companies can produce only 1 ounce of creamy Greek yogurt. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
You like yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
You eat it every day. And the rest becomes acid. Whey.
Waste.
No, whey. Whey.
Acid, whey, waste.
No, not waste. Acid, whey. Okay, W-H-E-Y.
I know, I'm just reading millions of pounds of toxic acid whey waste every year, and no one knows what to do with it.
Okay. It is a thin, runny waste product that can't simply be dumped. Not only would it be illegal, but whey decomposition is toxic to the natural environment, robbing oxygen from streams and rivers. That could turn a waterway into one expert calls a Dead Sea, destroying aquatic life over potentially large areas. Spills of cheese whey, a cousin of Greek yogurt whey, have killed tens of thousands of fish around the country in recent years. Holy cow. Did you know that?
No.
Two, not from concentrate orange juice is processed with flavor packs to artificially ensure that each bottle tastes exactly the same. No matter what time of year it is, and which oranges the juice came from, big beverage companies make their products perfectly consistent by mixing the juice with carefully calibrated brand-specific orange flavorings. These mixtures are added to replace the natural flavors lost when juice is chemically stripped of oxygen, so that it can be kept in storage tanks for more than a year without oxidizing. Because the added flavor is technically derived from orange oil and extract, it doesn't need to be specifically listed in the ingredients.
Oh.
Number three, this is how the ingredients of packaged veggie burgers get mixed together. There's a guy, there's a picture of somebody mashing a huge wheelbarrow with a shovel.
It looks like he's mixing fertilizer.
Yeah.
Or dirt.
And most commercial milk is made by combining heat, homogenizing, and repackaging the milk of cows. Milk gets separated by huge industrial centrifuges into components, fat, protein, and other solids and liquids. Most milk parts are then recombined in various portions to make perfectly uniform, whole, low-fat, and skim milks. Read more about the process and how raw milk, a.k.a. the kind that comes straight from cows, became a thing of the past. In this LA Times commercial article. Want to read some? Maraschino cherries.
Oh.
Maraschino
fruit producers bleached the fruit with chemicals and then marinated in huge vats of corn syrup and dye to turn the cherries red again. Oh, that's disgusting.
So much for maraschino cherries. And many canned soups are flavored with monosodium glutamate, even when they claim they aren't.
Oh, boy.
Here's a chunky chicken noodle, Campbell's, made with MSG. Progresso, 50% less sodium chicken noodle, no MSG. Okay.
It says it isn't, but it really does.
No, well, they say no MSG. Oh, whatever. The additive gives soup a meat-like flavor that helps make up for canning-induced blandness and less salt. Many brands have reduced their use of salt thanks to nutrition concerns about high sodium levels. MSG isn't necessarily bad for you, but soup makers sneakily get around admitting that they use it by referring to it as naturally occurring because it's refined from vegetable and yeast proteins. And listing it in the ingredients as yeast extract or hydrolyzed protein. An actual ad war broke out in 2008 because Campbell and Progresso were so worried that customers wouldn't buy soup when they knew it contained MSG. And we're already over, believe it or not. Canning process for soup is so violent that companies grow huge, super tough carrots with the soup so that they won't disintegrate.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Wow. That's just some dude for a random huge carrot, but former Campbell's soup scientists describe the industrial strength carrots as like tree limbs. They're like baseball bats.
Many ice creams are thickened and stabilized with carrageenan, which is actually a seaweed extract. I knew that. Hot dogs are filled with a gloopy blend of meat trimming, fat, starch, and cereal filler.
They showed a video of it coming out of a tube. It's pretty gross. It's got hot dog stuff. Cereal filler is breadcrumbs, oatmeal, or flour. Because you won't want oatmeal in their frankfurter. And that's not to mention... That's not to mention all the lovely flavor dyes and preservatives might be floating around in there, too.
If you feel like barfing even more, check out this video of the production process. Oh, that's I think I'll pass on that.
And one more. Lots of imported and expensive extra virgin olive oils are actually cut with cheaper seeds and nut oils.
I don't know how you know that. which ones they are.
Fascinating, hilarious, and as well, experts say, of Italian oil fraud, which eventually became the book Extra Virginity, the sublime and scandalous rule of olive oil.
Red and pink-colored products are often dyed with cochineal extract, a.k.a. the bodies of crushed-up tiny insects.
Oh, God.
Heinz tomato ketchup, Yoplait.
Yoplait and 100% juice, ruby red.
Grapefruit.
Oh, God. And cochineal extract is also sometimes listed as carminic acid or carmine. You can learn more about this delicious process by making the dye here.
Coffee cream is made of corn syrup and hydrogenated trans fatty vegetables. Oils, I don't use that, thank God.
Ain't no cream in here. Here are the ingredients listed in a label of Coffee Mate Original Liquid Creamer. Water, corn syrup solids, partially hydrated soybean and or cottonseed oil, less than 2%. Oh, my God, this is not artificial flavoring carrying.
And if you need another reason to stop putting creamer in your coffee, check out the super fun texture you get when those ingredients are teamed up.
Ugh. Oh, this might hurt me. To make pork bellies get hung up in a weird car wash closet machine and showered with liquid smoke. Creepy red vein also includes dyes. Turn the pork more appropriately bacony color. I didn't know where. Did you know they're made from pork bellies?
No.
Bacon is made from pork bellies. That's why. Remember they say, you invest in pork bellies, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what they make bacon out of.
Oh.
I didn't know that.
And then they dye it.
That's disgusting. So you see how they dye it so that you get the vein in there?
Yeah. The creepy red rain also includes dyes to turn the pork a more appropriately bacony color.
Oh.
Shredded cheese is packed with cellulose, a.k.a. refined wood pulp, to keep it from clumping.
Mm-hmm. Cellulose, made from broken down plant fibers, including wood, is a common food additive, which can also make ice cream.
Salad dressing.
Yeah, creamier, or salad dressing thicker. Without adding calories. Since it's naturally derived, even packaged food labels as organic often include cellulose, sawdust. Who knew?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
On that note, we should just say goodnight. It just makes me feel awful.
That's where the author apologized at the beginning. It says,
and that's from Riser.
Apologies in advance.
That's from Riser. You can go to that article and read it for yourself. I think you should.
It's a good article. It's a good article. I'm gonna.
I want to thank you folks for tuning in tonight. We're out of time. And please listen to us tomorrow night.
Yeah. And if you want to check out these things, you can go, if you happen to be on Facebook, okay? I have all of these articles actually posted on my Facebook site open to the public, and it's called LARN, it's called Leo Steel. Okay, go to that, check it out, or go to my website, lasteelshow.org, or just go right to this. If you tuned in late to this program, just go right to the Blog Talk archives or my website, Chris Listen Live, and enjoy.
And we'll talk to you tomorrow night.
Yeah.
So good night, folks.
All right. Good night, everyone.